Thank you. Thank you. morning. I'm Pastor Brad. If I haven't had the pleasure yet of meeting you, I would love to have that as soon as I could. But you know what? We sang that song. And I love what Paul said to Timothy. He said, even if we are faithless, he is faithful because he cannot deny himself.
Amen.
He's faithful to do what he says he will do. It may not fit your thoughts or your agenda, but he's faithful to demonstrate his great love for you. If you've never experienced that great love, today you can. Just invite Jesus to come into your life and you'll know the God who is love. But let's pause and pray together. I love the prayers of Paul when he writes to various churches. And he writes to a church in a town by the name of Colossae. I'm going to change it to the church in Groton called Seaport. I'm going to pray this way. I often pray this way for you. I don't know if you know that, but I often pray this way. Right out of the scripture, I pray this way for you. I pray that you'll grow in knowledge and spiritual wisdom. I pray that you'll grow to be fruitful and effective in your faith. That you'll grow to understand God in his immense ways. And to be found pleasing to him in every way. Let's pray that way. Lord, this morning, I pray for the church in Groton called Seaport. May every single one of us here, and it's okay if it spills over into all the other churches too, that God, that every single one of us would grow in wisdom and in spiritual knowledge and understanding. God, that we would mature in our faith. God, that we would be effective and fruitful in all that we do and are for you. And God, that we would just grow in understanding how great and wonderful, loving, and amazing you really are. We might understand your ways and be found pleasing to you. Help us, God, today just to be found pleasing to you. And just continue. God, may we never stagnate. May we never plateau. But may we continue to grow. Thanks, Father. If you agree with that prayer, say amen.
Amen.
All right. If you didn't... All right, you may be seated. God bless you guys. It's great. Again, it's great to have all of you here. Amen. I love praying the prayers of Paul and personalize them for all of you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we do want to just give you a very special welcome, those of you that are online, those of you that are maybe here visiting for the very first time. In a moment, we're going to clap for you. That's our way of just welcoming you. But we'd love to connect with you, and there's a couple of really easy ways for you to do that. You can text the word welcome to the number that's on the bottom of the screen behind me. You can do that, or you can hit that QR code that's in front of you. That takes you to a landing page, and there's a lot of little options on there that you can choose from, including our app and a website and all that sort of thing, and get connected that way. But if you text welcome, a little link will come back to you. Hit that. And then complete that. Then we're connected. It takes you less than a minute. So anyway, as a way of welcoming you, we are going to just say, hey, welcome. And we're going to applaud and say, glad to have you here. Okay? It's great to have all of you here. Amen. Andy, why don't you come up here right now? Back in March, we conducted a 3.5-day event called CityQuake. It was an amazing conference. And as a follow-up to that, Andy has been leading. Andy's one of our deacons. He's been leading... you know, every other week, a team that goes out and just expresses the love of God to people. We call it Aftershock. And so, Andy, you're going to tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then there's your testimony, too. So talk
absolutely.
To us.
John and Liz, you guys can make your way up if you're out. Oh, there you are. Yeah. We've been going out. It's called Aftershock. And I just wanted to share that we're going to continue to go out. We've seen so much fruit and people that are coming to Christ and making great connections. So in August, we'll be back on. We took a break this last Saturday for the chemistry show, which was awesome. If you were here, man, just an amazing connection yesterday. But we're going to be continuing in August, and we're going to be starting something new as well. We're going to be starting a group called Belong. And what is geared towards on Wednesday nights is geared towards those that have maybe not come to the faith, but they're interested, that we have conversations with, that you're having conversations with. It's going to be a place where they don't feel like, oh, everybody knows everything. The people in Belong may know nothing about God or anything about church at all. It's going to be a place that they can come and ask questions, So we're really excited about that. We connected, Liz and John helped me connect with Renee, who's running another church. In their belong group, they said they had an atheist, a warlock. They have all kinds of people coming in, and they're having great conversations, sharing Christ, and God is touching their lives. So we're excited to start that here. Amen? All right, John and Liz, they want to share a story of something that happened with them as they begin to share to someone.
Yeah, we just thank Pastor Brad again for bringing City Quake here, because what it has done for us, it has made us a lifestyle. It's become a lifestyle for us. So we try to ask the Holy Spirit to point out someone to us as we're walking through the park or wherever we're going. So it was last week, and we were in Wilcox Park, and we saw a woman with a dog. And the dog is usually a great entry point for us. So we went over to her, and we just started a conversation. And the conversation led to sharing where she, well, actually, we gave her, okay. So we started, we were just getting to know her. And I said, oh, yeah, I used to have dogs like yours. And if you ever need someone to, you know, take care of your dog, if you go away, let me know. And she said, well, actually, I might, because August I'm going away. I said, well, here's our card. We have a ministry card. And on the front, it says, where do you place your hope? And hope in Jesus. So when she's, and on the back is our contact information. So when she saw that, she said, oh, boy, I really need hope right now. So that was another entry point. So we just, you know, heard a little bit about what she's going through. And then we prayed for her. And we did not feel led to lead her to salvation, and because we really trust the Holy Spirit on this. So we asked her, like, please, can we get together again? Because I started sharing a little bit, and the common denominators were astounding, like only God can do. And so she really felt a connection. So I said, please, let's get together. You know, let's just have coffee one day. So sure enough, she called. We had coffee just a few days ago. And she shared almost her whole life with me, and it was not pretty. And I got a chance to witness the love of Jesus, and she did accept Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Yeah, hallelujah. And but so, like, what I really want to share about that is we just have to show people that we care, and we can just stop and make a conversation about a dog, and then the Holy Spirit will open the doors. And so be encouraged that we have a testimony, and it was our testimonies that we shared that opened her up. And you know, what is that scripture that says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony? And testimony means do it again. So when I started sharing, she was encouraged. So we just give God all the glory for this. And
yeah. I just might add that, you know, we do look for opportunities every day wherever we go. And you know, the song that our sister was leading us in, all your promises are yes and amen. And, you know, God promises us that he has crowns in heaven for those who obey him and go to save souls. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing better than leading someone to Jesus. Sorry. There's so many people out there that we witness to that are hurting. You know, you all have an opportunity to go out there and do God's work.
Thank you guys for sharing. Amen. All right.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you, John. I appreciate that very, very much. Yeah, there's people out there, all kinds of folks that are hurting. And it's just, you know, just your touch, your smile, your care would be very impactful for them. So thank you guys for that. Let's continue to do that. What if everybody here at Seaport just did that every single week? What an impact could be made. Amen?
Yes.
Yeah, it could be amazing, truly. We'll talk about amazing. The amazing chemistry show lived up to the hype, didn't it? Yeah. It was wild. It was wild. It was wonderful. It was a lot of fun. We had a great attendance. And, you know, we were able to do that. Do you know that yesterday, if people paid, if they had to pay for what they saw, I figured out it'd be about $20 a person. if they had to pay for that. But they paid nothing because of your generosity. You know, we offered that Sunday Fun Day free because of your generosity. The movie, the outdoor movie nights free because of your generosity. And so thank you. Thanks for being generous. One of the things I just want to share with you, I'm going to take a few weeks and just share very simple thoughts on how to get out of debt. Here's a very simple truth. You might need a motivator when it's difficult. And just think about this. Think about this. What is my life going to be like? How much better is my life going to be when I get out of debt? And put that as a simple thought. Get it in front of you. Get in front of you and just kind of say, you know what? Let that be the motivator to help you do the hard things you might need to do in order to get out of debt. Amen? Because once you get out of debt, you're going to experience a level of freedom financially that will be really amazing. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Be really, really wonderful. Many years ago now, I went to the bank and I turbocharged our mortgage, compressed it, got a lower interest rate. Because I said, I want that house paid off before I turn 65. And guess what? It's paid off. Was it hard sometimes? Oh, yeah. Making that much larger mortgage payment. It was tougher. It's tough, but it's paid off. And you know what? So now that all that extra money goes to some other kinds of things other than the bank. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what I want for you. I want you financially free. Which out of debt, financially free. How many of you don't want that? I thought there would be I expected somebody to say amen, but anyway, but glad you didn't. Can we pray before we receive the offering? Can we pray? I'm praying for your prosperity. I'm praying that you're going to get out of debt. So work with me on that, okay? Okay?
Amen.
Okay, good. Okay. Let's pray together. Father, you put this in my heart. You've told me to pray for the prosperity of the people of Seaport. You've told me to do that. So I'm going to do it. And I'm going to pray, God, that they honor you first and foremost, but I'm going to pray that, God, that you bless them, that you prosper them, God, that you help them to get out of debt, that you, God, enable them to be financially free, Lord, and not live under. Sometimes many of us live week to week, paycheck to paycheck, whatever it is. And Lord, I pray that people of Seaport Community Church would no longer live like that, that they would be free, completely free of debt, and God, able to do the things that they dream of doing. And so we trust you for this, Lord. Now honor this giving. Lord, I thank you for their generosity. I thank you for their kindness and the things we've been able to do because of their generosity. And Lord, I know one thing about your promises is that you respond to the generous with incredible blessing. That's a promise. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. Be glorified, we pray. Amen, friends. Amen. There's ways to give. I mean, if you're visiting with us, the ways to give, you can give through our app. That's the easiest way. You can give through text in church, or you can go old school. There will not be anything passed, but you can give an offering if you'd like to at one of the two giving boxes out there. Okay, so anyway, a few announcements, just real quick. Like, I think the very first thing we probably need to say, I don't see Bree. I think she left. But Bree was her first Sunday back since Hezekiah was born. But today's also her birthday. So when you see her, okay, give her a happy birthday. All right, bunch of things that are happening around here that. On Wednesday night, I'm going to teach a topic that I think is extremely important. How can you be a person that people trust? How can you identify somebody that can be trusted? What should you do when trust is broken? Thanks, Chad. I appreciate the affirmation. Appreciate that. Chad and I have been friends for over 30 years, so it's all right. It's all good. And so we're going to talk about that on Wednesday night. There's lots of opportunities around here to pray. Be part of one of those opportunities, okay? Moms are gathering tomorrow at the Splash Pad. Well, that's fun. The guys have got a biweekly meeting on the Book of James Tuesday night. Okay, Sunday Fun Day is when?
Next Sunday.
Who said next month? next Sunday. You got to register. You're registering so that we know how much food to prepare, okay? That's why you're registering, so we know who will be here. And we still need some help on that, okay? So it's going to be a great time. The service will be followed by the fun day outside. And then there's the outdoor movie night. We still need some volunteers for that. So these are things that are happening. And then for Gen Now, which is our, you know, like the 30 to 50-ish group, they have a shark party. Happens to be over at our pool. So anyway, I hope that you can be part of that if you're in that age group. So, but Jessica's going to come right now. Jessica's also one of our deacons, and she's going to tell us about a special event happening this week. So Jessica?
Good morning, everyone. I'm actually first just going to ask if Pastor Debbie could exit the room just for a moment, please. I always have to kick her out, and it's a really nerve-wracking thing for me to do. All right, so this week is Pastor Debbie's birthday. So Thursday, she has her actual birthday. So what we're going to do is starting Wednesday, there's going to be a table out in the narthex with a little basket. Please feel free to shower her with cards, just some little notes to say, you know, we love you for her birthday. I'll give you a couple tips. She loves Amazon. She loves anything like bee-themed. I know she likes fish tacos, so the good restaurants in town, S&P Oysters, Great, Abbott's, like all those places. So let's just shower her with tons of love, and then on Sunday, I'll come back up, and we'll do the birthday presentation for her and just wish her a happy birthday. So hope you can just remember to do that. I'll put something on the page to remind you on Wednesday as well. Also, if you are in middle school or high school, I believe you're exiting the room right now with Rolando. And we have Chris.
Thanks, Jess. Good morning, Seaport. How is everybody doing this morning? It is a beautiful day out there today, right? You know, whenever I'm at home, I don't know, I guess Jess was supposed to do something else there. But, you know, Pastor Debbie can probably come back inside now. You know, whenever I reach a new level at home, my daughter always says, whatever trait that is, and then adds unlocked to it. Like I'm some kind of live action video game. She says, like, Pastor Dad, unlocked. Or Counselor Dad, unlocked. Most recently, I was Gentle Dad, unlocked. And so I want you to think about leveling up today. I want you to think what it's like to level up as you unlock your inner reconciler. I mean, I remain amazed today at how often our TV dramas are like these signposts for the culture that's happening. And they often divide us into those who love them and those to hate them. And a recent show that's a staple in my house for this week, for whatever reason, is Criminal Minds, because my daughter's friend Lauren is up visiting, and they've been binging it all week, so it's been kind of on reruns in my house, so I've had the opportunity to really see what those kind of things look like. And I'll admit, it's an all right show, but they are clearly addicted to it, and they have been just going back and forth and looking at these fictional characters and searching them on the web. When it's like a fictional show and they have a script to go by. In fact, I've been amazed at some of the scenes of conflict and of painful disagreements and about how they handle them between parents and children and coworkers and criminals and this thing called unsubs, which means unknown subjects, if you didn't know. I didn't. And sometimes they actually offer some really great advice that is both clear and honest. Sometimes they actually get to the bottom of an issue, showing how to put the problem fair and square on the table and how to express anger and confusion and frustration while still trying to see the other person's point of view and not being judgmental towards them. Which makes me beg the question, why can't we? I mean, I guess not everyone is given a script on how to appropriately handle conflict. Or are they? Are they actually given a script? I mean, I think reconciliation and real restoration is not this patched up version that's going to bust when the pressure gets put on, like it's easily scripted on TV. But can we have that same success? Do we have a script that can unravel these mysteries and restore harmony? Because handling conflict, it is something that is part of our daily lives. And there is, in fact, a divinely inspired go-by. But ask yourself this question. When you get into conflict, am I looking for restoration or am I just in it to win it? To just win that argument. Are you just in it because you want to be right? You know, it's easy to get into disagreements. Perhaps somebody wrongs us. Perhaps somebody is doing something that will hurt them spiritually and you just want to tell them. What do we do under those circumstances? How do we handle those situations? Certainly when these conflicts arise, the adversary likes to get right in there. He likes to get in there and influence us. He's always trying to divide us. He's always trying to pin us against one another. So we got to be careful. We got to be careful because it seems like we're living in a time when people have really lost their minds. I mean, if you pull out whatever your preferred social media platform is, I'm sure that you can look at the comments. You know what I'm talking about. I've never seen a culture in which it seems just so destined and obsessed with putting their opinion out there and anonymously hiding behind it. But they'll blast everything out there for everyone to see. We can't do anything in private anymore. It seems that no matter what comment that you look like or that you look at, they're all made to tear each other down. Or it's just this desire that says, I just want to see if I can get a rise out of them. Instead of saying, hey, you know what? How can I restore or build that person back up? Because maybe they did make a mistake. Maybe they were out of the box. But I'm here to tell you, it's time that we look at ourselves, that we take a hard look at ourselves, at a hard look at our culture, at our behavior, and we need to learn to level up ourselves. We need to level up our ability to reconcile with one another, to build up, to restore. And if only there was a guide that could help us unlock this ability to put aside our differences and not look right at that sin, but to help restore the other person. You know, as we continue in our series, Commissioned, The Commands of Jesus, we'll see that Matthew 18 is vital. It's vital in our day-to-day actions, in our interactions with our friends and our families and other believers. So if you haven't yet pulled out your preferred biblical viewing platform, today we're going to be talking about Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. If another believer sins against you, go privately. You heard that, right? Go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If that person still refuses to listen, take the case to the church. Then, if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. Man, that last part seems kind of harsh. But is it? You know, the keys to leveling up and maturing are right here. And I love how practical this passage really is. You see, reconciliation is a huge issue today. And it's too easy to get mad and to take our toys and go home. It's too easy. It's easy to not listen to the other side, to believe only in our own opinions, to dig in because we know we're right. But what happens when we're not? What happens when we have gone off the rails? What happens when we've gone outside the guardrails? what then do we do? Are we mature enough to be corrected? Are we mature enough to be course corrected? I guess we'll find out. Unfortunately, when we're not mature enough, the results are clear and they're devastating. I mean, look around the world globally. You have riots and shootings, and then even locally, we have broken marriages, shattered friendships, even divided churches. In fact, many will choose the path of least resistance and prefer to pretend there isn't a problem. They'll refuse to face the facts. Often, they'll just swallow it. And then that anger and that resentment will build up on that Band-Aid that they put in. And it will just stay there. And everything will be normal for a while as the rage kind of seethes inside until it bursts out in some manner. And a lot of times these days, it bursts out from our lips so that everyone can know how they've been wronged. Or they'll put it on social media about this is the things that they're doing over there. And then everybody gets offended and feels sinned against and jumps on the bandwagon. You know, perhaps maybe we just avoid and ignore that other person or that group and pretend that it didn't exist. I mean, I hate to be harsh, but that's not healthy. In fact, we even do it in the submarine force. Sometimes it's just easier to put the blinders on, to close the hatch, and to just ignore the problem. Just get in the tube and expect that that problem is just going to solve itself. But I'm here to tell you, that simply won't do. That's not going to happen that way. And so if you look back at Matthew, if someone, especially another believer, a brother or sister in Christ, a Christian, has been offensive, aggressive, bullying, dishonest, or immoral, nothing is gained if we try to create a reconciliation without acknowledging or confronting the fact that there's a real thing here, something that has to be reconciled. I mean, don't get me wrong. Reconciliation doesn't mean saying it didn't happen or that it didn't matter. But I'm amazed how easy a misunderstanding can just spiral out of control because no one actually talked to that person. I mean, what about if we looked at it from a different perspective? What about if we looked at it from another perspective? What if something like this happened? Say you're at a family gathering, maybe a reunion. You're at work or at the soccer field. It doesn't actually matter where. Maybe you hear, hey, did you hear that? Did you hear that latest thing about what's going on with so-and-so? And immediately it's like, ding, the ears pop up and everybody's like honed into that conversation. It's funny, for being the silent service, you'd be surprised how fast the rumors can spread on the waterfront. But what does the Bible tell us about these scenarios and how we should handle them? What is it that you do? You know, the church is made up of lots of different people. We have different backgrounds, different ages. We don't look the same. Not all of us have motorcycles lined up outside on Mondays. Not everyone has children in kids' church. Not everybody dresses the same or has Kate Spade purses that look the same. Yet, all of us are here. And God has called us all to love and be considerate of one another. Because we are all his children. You know, in Philippians 2, verses 2 through 5, it says, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. I mean, there it is. We should look out for others and even place their needs above our own. Paul continues on in Ephesians 4:29. He says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building up one another. So when something's out of whack, we should be looking at and doing things that build one another up, right? Just one of you? Just one, right? One person's like, yes, you're right. But what does right look like? You know, first we should contemplate how our actions or even what we're about to tell somebody is going to affect somebody. The Bible says, let every man be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to anger. So in that moment, do you take time to contemplate? Do you take a breath and listen to what the Lord is telling you? Or do you blast your friend immediately because of what they've done? I don't know what you do. It seems we're more ready to speak than listen. You know, James tells us that our tongue can potentially be a fire. So much so that when I was the youth director, I used to tell the kids, don't spread 8 grams of hate. Now, I'm not really sure exactly where I got the 8 grams from because it actually weighs 70 grams. But I think it was because there's 8 muscles, but I got a little confused. And the kids, they definitely called me out on it. Nonetheless, a world of evil can stem from just the tongue. It can spread like a spark when we find ourselves just fanning these flames of rumor or of discontent. I mean, did you know that the average person spends about 1/5 of their life speaking? Now, that's the average person, and I'm here to tell you from a person with parenting experience, if you have a teenage daughter, it's probably about 7 times that. But nonetheless, in a single day, a person can fill a 50-page book. Now, can you imagine if every single one of your words were recorded and put on the shelf, where all the things that you're saying, would we find that you build people up or that you're tearing them down? What kind of content would be in there? Because in everyday life, we have situations that we should respond to, that we need to respond to, but we have to know how to effectively and lovingly do that. You know, in the military, we love acronyms. Love acronyms. And so here's one that's truly going to help you to level up. It's called THINK. THINK. Think about, is it true? The thing that you're about to say when you're contemplating, is that thing true? Is it helpful? Is it insightful? Here's the biggest one, I think. Is it necessary? For some reason, we seem to think that everything we have to say is necessary, don't we? I need to tell them that. Do you? And then, is it kind? Is it kind? You know, I heard a story of an elderly grandfather who happened to be very wealthy, and he was losing his hearing, so he reluctantly went down and bought himself a hearing aid. And then like 2 weeks later, he went back to that same store and the clerk asked him, well, hey, your relatives must be really happy now that they know you can hear so much better. He was like, I didn't tell them. I've just been sitting around listening. And you know what? I've changed my will twice since then. So think about what you're saying to people. Because obviously that family was discussing things in an unkind manner because they didn't think that dad or grandfather could hear. But it's still our responsibility to go to people, to seek the truth instead of spearing lies or untruths when appropriate. Because if we truly have the mind of Christ, we can overcome these sense of discomfort and that, you know, that feeling that you get when you sense like, oh, I have to have this difficult conversation with someone. I have to confront this person. I don't want to do that. And that's why people cut and run, because they don't want to do that. But may that interaction bring and embrace truth and love because you're trying to restore that person. You see, if you really love someone and you see that they're crossing the line, and you see that they're sinning, and it's not just hearsay, but you know it to be true out of love, just as Jesus did, you need to confront them and not turn this blind eye and pretend like, somebody else will tell them. Because God put all of us in each other's paths in order to help restore. Because, as it says in Proverbs, the wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. If you really love someone, as hard as it may be, you need to go to them. And you need to go to them in private. Because Jesus, he didn't shy away from confrontation because of the way it made him feel. I mean, think about the Lord Almighty and how many people have sinned against him. How much offense has been taken against him. Can you imagine how God hurts for people that are going the wrong way? And I know if you're sitting in here, when you see people going down the wrong path, oh man, it hurts. If you're a parent and you see your child going the wrong way, you're like, ah, it hurts inside. Yet he faces the pain and he continues to seek them anyway. He illustrates this by telling us the story of the shepherd that had 100 sheep and one who went astray. How easily the shepherd could have said, you win some, you lose some. Stupid sheep. He didn't know his right from his left anyway. Besides, I still got 99. But no. Instead, he couldn't bear the thought of losing one. And that's how we should feel about our brothers and sisters. That's how we should feel about our friends. I can't bear to see them do this. That's the same as God's heart towards the sinning and the strayed believer. He seeks them out and restores them no matter how hard the search may be. It hurts him to see even one person lost. Hurts. And this should hold true to us. It should hold true to our hearts when we see a brother or a sister who has been overtaken by sin. Our hearts should hurt for them. We shouldn't reject them. We should confront them with a loving heart. Not to win, not just to say, hey, look what you've done, but to restore them. And thankfully, Jesus, he gives us the steps. He gives us the steps. And it appears when people have fallen into sin. And I underline appears here because it's very easy to not know the facts and just assume. And we do it often and easily. It's like our default setting, I think. So first we need to know the facts. We need to know the truth. And many times going to that person will instantly clear up that issue immediately. I mean, let's say you hear something about someone. Instead of talking to others about it, you should be saying, hey, I'm going to go directly to that guy. That's my guy. I'm going to talk to him. Tell him, hey, I heard this. I heard this is going on. Is this true? And you may be surprised to hear that oftentimes the answer is absolutely not. That's not what's going on here. That's not true at all. Here's what's going on. And maybe there's a perception problem in there that just needs to be corrected. But by confronting that person personally, by confronting them privately and lovingly without judgment, hopefully we can get the issue corrected in one way or another right then. However, to fail at that, what happens? It's only that causing them harm. And it doesn't just cause them harm, it causes the church harm as well. Because the greatest harm comes from a little bit of leaven. Leaven's the whole lump. It's like if you put one drop of blood in the toilet, you know the entire toilet turns red, right? Or one drop of food coloring into a bowl, the entire bowl turns that color. So what happens when you hear something about somebody? Let's be honest. What's really happening? First, let's consider what the Bible says we should do. You know, in Galatians 6:1, it says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you are spiritual to restore him gently. Gently. I'm telling you, you would think by observing the behavior of people that there's some hidden verse in the Bible that says, if you catch somebody in sin, you should announce it to everybody and post it all over social media. Because it seems like that is what our culture does. That's not actually working through the issue. So let's actually try working through, if we are to hear a rumor by the standard of Jesus. Let's say someone shares something with you. Hey, did you hear that thing? Did you hear so-and-so was doing this and doing that? When you hear that thing, what should you do? You should be obligated to seek the truth and just start asking like, hey, excuse me, I mean, how do you know that's true? Oftentimes you hear, I mean, everybody knows that. The proverbial everybody, the theys. Do they think that they can rely on the truth with that? No, of course not. So we should go to that person. We should go to that person. You should respond with, really? Do you have evidence to back this up? And if so, did you follow any of the, I don't know, biblically given guidelines? Or if you're a member here at Seaport, did you follow what it says in our Constitution and bylaws about confronting somebody on this issue? Which directly references our verses today. And if they haven't, then you should shut it down. Because you're just spreading gossip. You've now become part of the problem. You've now missed the mark too. And I would hope that that person at that time confronts you in private. Because it says, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. Not publicly and let everybody know. Maybe you say something like, hey, I personally saw this, and man, brother, I'm concerned about you because I love you, because I care about you, I care about your family. I think this is something you should really look at, man. But be ready. Be ready because not every response gets the warm welcome that you think, right? You might get the, get out of here. Or they may say, thank you very much for sharing that with me, and then strangle you. I don't know. I mean, take for a moment if someone confronted you. If someone confronted you, how would you handle it? I mean, that really is the true test of maturity. If someone goes to confront you on something that maybe you didn't realize you were doing, or maybe you did, how do you handle that? They may also just accept it and say, you know what? I never realized I was presenting myself like that. That's not something that I intended to do. Or, man, I am way out of the box. Thank you. Help me. Thank you for telling me that. Because I don't want to cause anybody else to stumble like I'm stumbling right now. I mean, have you gone to your brother or sister in private, as the Bible tells us? Because once you do, and then they repent, they're restored. They're restored when they turn away from those ways and they repent and they go back to God. And just like that, shabam, it's a done deal. They're restored. It stops right there. You don't have to tell anybody else about it. You don't have to place it up on social media. It's something that happened in private to restore somebody. To restore them. Because it's about restoration. Now, after that point, you've won your brother back. It says you've won your brother back, and you must keep this in mind because the goal is restoration, because we, you, all of you are worth it. He tells us that we're worth it. He leaves the 99 to find the one. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back because he sees us as worth it. And I love the way that the Message Bible puts Galatians 6:1. It says, if someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. Why? Why? Because one of these days it might be you. You might be the one that's down. You might be the one that's stumbled. You might be the one that's caught in a snare. And how awesome is it if somebody sprinkles salt on you while you're bleeding? No, you'd rather that person just reach down and say, hey, let me help you back up. Let me show you that the path is over here. Because clearly you went off the guardrails. We don't have to broadcast this. Just get back up. Let's just dust you off. Let's get you right again. And let's get on with it. And if I fall, I would appreciate it if you reached out and picked me back up as well. You must correct others in sin with the mindset of gentleness and with right motivations. And that right motivation is to restore them. Now, let's say that that person who needs that course correction doesn't respond to your humble and loving and prayerful confrontation. Even though it's clear of the facts, now what? What do we do then? Because I'd love to say, of course, every time this happens, they of course they respond lovingly. But clearly that's not the case if the very next verse says, but if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you. Go back again so that everything you say may be confirmed by one or two witnesses, or two or three witnesses. You go back with three witnesses. Now don't misunderstand this. This is not to embarrass the person. This is not to gang up on the person. It's simply to show them that there's a problem. And it's so much of a problem that you've now gotten other believers with you to help you. Because the goal is what? Restoration. So say after you've gone with the two or three witnesses, they still refuse to change even though you've explained it to them. This sin is keeping you from God's kingdom. If the person still refuses to listen, take the case to the church. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat the person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. They should be put out of the church if they're living in this kind of open sin in which they won't repent of. Put out of the church, I mean, that seems kind of harsh, doesn't it? Is that the right thing that we should do? I mean, you might ask, isn't the church the place for people to come that are hurting, that are lost, that are sinning, that are broken? Well, of course it is. But it's also the place for people to come that are going to take on the prescription of the great physician. Because ultimately, if they don't, they're going to begin to spread that, just like that drop of blood in the toilet bowl. It's a place for sinners who are coming ready to repent of their sins and come to find Christ. It's a place where saints come to grow in their faith. It's not a place just for perfect people, but it's a place where all of us are here walking towards God, walking with others for God, and expecting others to help keep us on the path. So if we're not going to listen to the people that God has put around us to help us, then why should we be there in the first place? Listen, if someone is living in continual and habitual sin and is unwilling to repent, even when confronted in private, when confronted in private in a group, then they should be put out. So that way God can get a hold of them, because clearly those particular methods that he has already put in place by surrounding people with other believers to help keep us on the right path isn't working. And he needs to go get that proverbial 2x4 somewhere else. But again, the goal isn't just to kick somebody out of the church. The goal is to restore them. And then you might be asking, I mean, how can they possibly be won back if they leave the church? Now they're completely out of people that are surrounded to love them and help them. But I mean, if you look, there was a similar situation that happened in the church of Corinth. A man got involved in an incestuous relationship with his stepmother. The church there was kind of boasting, hey, look at us. We're welcome to this guy. We're so open. And Paul said, have you guys lost your minds? And he writes to them in 1 Corinthians and he says, it's actually reported that a man is involved in sexual immorality. That's something that even the pagans don't do. A man with his father's wife, and you're proud of this, you're boasting of this, and you're ignoring this? This kind of thing is ultimately going to hurt the church. Because if you allow this kind of thing to occur, it sends off the signal that this kind of thing is okay. What do you mean you knew about it and you didn't do anything about it? You can come here and do whatever you want. I don't say it's harsh. I say it's for the person's own good. It's for the person's own good to be out there, to be lost so that God can find him wherever he needs to, because clearly we're not getting through. And Paul wanted the church to take drastic measures to get their attention. Sometimes some of us are stubborn. Some of us need that 2x4. I get it. I've been there. But he wanted to get their attention. And guess what? That person that Paul told the church in Corinth to put out ended up repenting and coming back. We find that out later. And then he comes back to the church. So clearly, this divine prescription works. It's almost like the Almighty knows what he's doing. Now remember, before, you're so quick to say it's harsh. This isn't meant to be a first line of action. Right? Oh, found out this is going on. See you later. Certainly it's a last measure. Certainly it's a severe measure. But certainly it's a necessary one so that God can get their attention. So that they can be what? Restored. So that they can be restored. You see, we as humans, we're messy. We're messy. Life can be messy. But God is always trying to reach you. He's always trying to get through. The question is, are you listening? He's always trying to restore you, even when you mess up. The question is, really, will you listen? Or will you continually try and do it on your own accord? So stand with me. Because listen, if you're a Christian, the only way to truly have Christ unlocked in your life, within you, is to see others as Christ sees them. Amen. To not look upon your own interests, but to look in the interests of others. Our attitude should be the same as Christ. We should be seeking to restore them. So before you confront someone, think. Think about, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring them? Is it even necessary for me to tell them? And am I doing it with a kind and loving heart, and my motivations are motivated by the fact that I want to see this man restored? Because our goal should be the same as God's. It should be the same as Christ, and that's for us to be restored. Even the one to be restored. So think before you act. Pray and think and respond to restore. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've given us a divine prescription, Lord, on how you want to see things restored, Lord. Lord, we know that it is your ultimate plan for all of us to be restored and that we are pieces in your perfect plan, Lord. May we listen and obey in every situation, Lord. May we listen and obey and confront in gentle, in private, so that we can help, so that you can use us in your great restoration plan. Lord, we know that you are right there with us whenever a confrontation takes place. Lord, may we put our strength and our confidence and our wisdom in only you, Lord, and not in ourselves. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's worship.
Of his spirit.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to ask the altar team, ministry team, they'll come and stand across the front here, and they're available to pray with you about any particular matter that you have. Maybe you're going through a tough situation and you need someone just to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you've never met Jesus. They'll make the introduction and help you to give your life to Him. And man, the change then begins. Wow. It's amazing. As we wrap this up, and you can, if you want to respond, you can begin to come right now. If you want to just find one of these folks, they'll pray with you confidentially. Just as we get ready to close, I just want to challenge you. Maybe you were sitting here and you were saying, you know, I need to do that. And you feel kind of moved to do it. But I know how it happens. Sometimes you allow yourself to get talked out of it when you leave here. You hear things like, oh, it'll be too hard, it won't work, or they won't care, or something like that. Don't allow yourself to be talked out of it. Amen? Step forward and do it. Yeah, it could be hard. I'm not going to kid you, it could be really hard. But you'll go forward in your faith no matter how it turns out. You grow in love for them, probably. And the Lord will honor your obedience. Amen? I've been through this many times myself. Many, many times. And sometimes it's gone amazingly well. And other times, not so well. But I knew that I did my best and I honored the Lord. And you know what? He looks at that and He honors that. So don't let yourself be talked out of it today. If you need to do it. Right? I'm going to pray that God give you grace and strength and then dismiss you. I'm going to try to be over by the cafe. I know, I think we have a couple of visitors here, and there's maybe some others that told me they're going to be out of town visiting. I'd love to see you. I'll try to be out there by the cafe. Well, let's just pray together. Father, we've heard truth today for truth. But we've heard it, and maybe we've been moved, or maybe we've been emotionally or intellectually, we've been challenged, but we need to take a step now. And this is the tough part. Give us the wisdom. Help us to know the exact timing. But God, help us not to talk ourselves out of something or be talked out of it, or God, be scared out of it, or whatever it might be. But may we take the step. And may we speak the truth in love. May we not do anything harshly or judgmentally or anything of the sort, but just in an attempt to honor you and to love that other person. So give us the grace and the strength. I know that you will. Lord, we don't want our Christianity to be just church attendance. We want our Christianity to be to impact every part of who we are and every way in which we live. So we trust you, mighty God. Thanks, Lord. Dismiss us now in your great grace. Amen, friends? Don't just leave here. Go love somebody for Jesus, all right? God bless you guys. Ooh, hope to see you Wednesday. Men on Tuesday, young adults on Thursday, youth on Friday.